Yo, 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 welcome back to another episode of Texas Underground. I am your host, Jay Vaz, and as always, make sure you follow us on all the social media pages at The Jay Vaz Show. This show is brought to you by La Conecta brand. We got air fresheners, we got the rolling trays, Be Someone tray. They got all kinds of different graphics, though. We got the energy drinks, El Cut Energy Drink, Para Andar Al 100. It's also brought to you by GT Distribution. If you're an independent artist looking to take your music to the next level, make sure you hit up gtdistribution.com and they'll help you take your music there. Joining us today, I got a guest, and you said, I want to introduce you the proper way as far as everywhere you're from. Originally from New Jersey.
It's going to be a long list.
Right? From New Jersey. You moved out here to Texas. You were in Second Ward, I believe, and then you said you ended up in Galveston. I might have lost it already, but joining me today, E45. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's the deal, man? It's E45. I ain't going to lie, I've been waiting for this one for a minute, Jay.
Man, it's been one of them things that, you know, I know you previously hit me up, but around the time you hit me up in, I think it was like in December, that's mm-hmm. when Texas Underground Radar and Would Never Die was kind of just towards the end of it, mm-hmm. and now that I'm here, I just want to say this because I've been running into people and they think that I have a beef with Never Die or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was literally hanging out with Never Die last weekend.
Shout out to Never Die.
The show ended just because the show ended. It got shit to do with our personal lives. So I just want to say that. Yeah. But that's around the time the show was coming to an end. So when you hit me up, I was like, bro, I don't even have the studio no more.
Yeah.
And again, it was nothing about me and Never Die. It was mm-hmm. just the lease was up and we were like, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to record outside the studio. We never did. Didn't work out. But then, you know, you hit me up again. I was like, hey, bro, give me about a week or two. I'm about to settle in into, you know, Goto's place. Mm-hmm. And here we are. So I apologize that it took this long.
Nah, man.
But shit, we out here making it happen now.
We're making it happen.
Yeah, man. So I was making a joke about it, but everything you just told me, I think it's important for people to know. So you know, you were telling me how you represent, you know, on your music, you talk about Second Ward and
Big
stuff like that.
Big shout out to Second Ward.
Obviously, I was making fun of you for assuming I was Mexican, which I am, but I thought you were Mexican.
You thought I was Mexican, yeah.
So, you know, he hit me with the whole Salvadoran.
Salvadoran.
And I was like, damn, I don't know if I want to have this guy on here anymore, but it's too late. No,
and you want to know, just to add more confusion to the whole mix, like, I was born in New Jersey, right? And from New Jersey, we went to go live in El Salvador. From El Salvador, came back, lived in Connecticut, West New York, all type of places. Then we ended up coming to Galveston first. And that's where I started learning Houston culture. And a few years later, made my way up the road, which Highway 45, that's where half of my rap name comes from, 45. So a lot of people, they tell me, oh, you're off of E40, E40. Yeah. But really, it's Highway 45. It goes from Galveston to Houston, Dallas, what's up to 2 and 4, Fort Worth. I love them. So literally, like, I'm known for up and down going 45. Yeah. And then that's a nickname I've had since childhood. So E45.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. When the 45, I was like, it's got to be around where he's from.
And see, like, when you just told me your story where you were like, hey, no, I didn't learn English till like the fifth grade. And that's basically us. My parents sent us to school to learn English with the white kids. But at home, you couldn't talk English because they didn't know what you were saying. So you might catch your ass whooping for saying the wrong thing. Like, that's just what it was.
Basically,
So being from New Jersey, here in Texas, like, if you hear Hispanic, it's kind of like, you're either Mexican or you're considered Mexican because it's so close to the border. Yeah. But over there, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Peruvians, like, down to the food, down to the way I speak Spanish. So, like, I could basically change my voice. And, like, growing up, I did it for different reasons, different whatever.
Yeah.
Pero cuando hablo español, lo puedo hablar rápido como un puertorriqueño, or I could slow it down. And, hey, lo puedo hablar como mexicano. So it's like, I was raised with Mexicans, so man, I even told people, like, I'm gonna get a big the eagle with the whole Mexican emblem thing and with the Salvadorian one. Those two countries hate each other. If you tell a Mexican person, I thought you were before you even get to the end of the word, they're gonna look at you like you know you called them something like out of line.
That's hilarious because growing up in Waller. Mm-hmm. I had my best friend is Salvadorian.
Okay.
But the whole fucking time I thought he was Mexican.
The whole time.
Because as a kid, you don't care about where people are from.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and ask, where are you from? You know, what religion are y'all? You don't give a shit about that, right? Yeah. You're just making friends.
Yeah.
As we got older, I was like, bro.
You brought a torta, he brought a pupusa.
He's like, don't ever say it's the same thing. I was like, but it is. He's like, bro, it's not. And I was like, why is it such a big deal? He's like, because my people. And I was like, okay, I get it.
And see, and the it's a real tattoo. Shout out to Aaron Springs. That's like one of my childhood friends. I'll show you his work. One of the most talented people in the country. And I people say that loosely.
Yeah.
And there's like, bro, like he's mediocre. You know
how much he pay you, bro?
No. But when I show you, when I show you his work, bro, like legit, he has a commercial building in Clear Lake. Which is, you know, a very prestigious community down here. He has 18 booths, bro, and from all over the world, from Peru, from Brazil, from Prague, people come here so they could apprentice like under him, so he could just give them his 2 cents. Like, hey, I think you should do this. I think so. Like, he's like one and legit. Like, so the tattoo is gonna be the middle of the Mexican flag and the middle of the Salvadoran flag, and in Spanish it's gonna say "Sangre mía es sangre tuya," because my kids that. Their whole other half is Mexican.
Yeah.
So, and the way I was raised, like, since I got to Texas, like, I tell people I'm Mexican. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it pops off, like, I you know, I'll shout out to Salvadorans. I love y'all. But if I was somewhere, there's a group of people, and on one side, it's like, oye, whoa. You know, and on the other side, it's like, you know, say, oye, wait. Like, nigga, I'm be with the wave, what nigga. Like, that's how I was raised. but, man, like, I make fun of it because at the end of the day, I feel like laughing is medicine.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So like anybody, they get all mad in this country, that country. But if you could crack jokes and make people laugh about it, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? You're doing something good.
You know, one thing that I figure out about life, bro, I can offend anybody, but as long as I laugh, they're not going to get offended.
Yeah. If you laugh first, you're right.
Yeah.
There's like, different laughs.
It's almost like adding LOL at the end of a text.
Yeah.
You can be like, fuck you, LOL.
LOL.
And it's okay.
It's like saying, this isn't racist, and then you can say the most racist shit on earth. As long as you first say, hey, but this isn't racist, what I'm going to say. Like, yeah, you're just warming up.
So, first I want to say, Salvadorans, y'all missed Texas. Went all the way the fuck over there to...
Yeah.
We're in New Jersey,
man.
Just to come back, what a waste of gas!
Look, man, I'll be honest with you. I'm a writer. I'm also getting into writing. I'm pulling out my poetry book. I'm gonna be putting that out later on this year. Hopefully, I'll read you some. That way, you can kind of see that side of my writing. Because I rap, but I've written wedding vows, eulogies. Like, I just love like sitting there with words and emotion. Like, hey, what do you need me to write for you? My homeboy, shout out, I ain't gonna put his name out there, but he was like, hey, bro, like, I want to read something original to my wife. This is our story. This is how we met. Da, da, da. And I'll be damned if he didn't have half the people there. Like, the way I set it up for him, I was like, look, you're going to read this to her, but so that everyone could feel what you're saying, we're going to put a copy of it and tell them, hey, look, if you reach, there's an envelope right here. This is what is. And when they read what, you know what I'm saying? Bro, there was people crying. Yeah. There was like, you know what I'm saying? So like,
I don't want you to read nothing there.
Not like that. No,
you ain't here crying like that, bro.
No, man. But in our reality, big shout out to anybody that's a real writer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a real legit, like you could sit there and write a Taco Bell commercial. That's what knocked on your door. And they said, hey, this is what we need. So, man.
Speaking of writing, before we get deeper into that, let's get a feel of how all this, the love and the passion for all this started.
Uh-huh.
So again, your story, you know, your family was in New Jersey. You were born. I come to Texas.
Alternative school.
We'll just say Texas. What sparked that love for music?
It was a mix of like right in middle school.
And what kind of music was the first music that got you like, okay, this is dope?
The first music that I could remember that had me like, what is that? Swisher House, The Day Hell Broke Loose. That was the name of the tape. And there was a place called Simps right on 44th and Ball in Galveston. It was like the Doughboy hangout. And so like my father's a minister. You know, I've been in church for the better part of my adolescent life. So we would get home.
I'm gonna interrupt you right quick. He was mad as fuck when he saw your tattoos, huh?
Well, honestly, he was, but in honesty, I thank God every day that we've been able to work like a circle, you know what I'm saying? Like, it goes different places. You don't know when we're really going to come all the way around, but me and him went from, like, you know, I was his youngest to, like, hey, we had to disconnect for a little bit, where we reconnected, now we're
being the youngest, they cut some slack on us. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
you shit, man. I slack. Man, we used to get stuff from Salvation Army and what's the other one? That there was like this thrift shop, right? And so my oldest brother would get it new, right? Which it wasn't even new. he'd wear it out until my other brother, it would go to him. He'd wear it out, and then I'd get it. So by the time I got it, people would be like in school, like, hey, bro, why is the bottom of your pants rolled up like this thick, like cardboard? That's because, like, first it was my brother. Da, 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 da. So
it went through the family. It was different generations.
Yeah, no, bro. But in honesty, like back then, someone could crack like a your mama joke or something like that. And you could either get really mad or you could just get really good at throwing the joke back.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that's where that came about, where it was like, hey, with words, you could like protect yourself and you could throw it back and da, da, da. So where right around that time era, it was like where people were banging on table lunches and lockers.
Yeah.
And you thought it was a fight because everybody was like, ooh. But there was like two or three dudes freestyling. And every other line was like, I pop trunk, drop screen. Like we walked up to the schoolhouse. Nobody has a car. Nobody has pop trunk. But it sounds good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that was my introduction to like, oh, snap. You know what I'm saying? And this place, Simps, it was really like a hood spot. It wasn't like this wasn't like on the Seawar or the Strand. Like this was across the street from Palm Terrace, Parkland, like in the hood.
Yeah.
So I remember coming home like from church Friday night as a kid, my whole family would go to sleep. And like, sure enough, right around 11 or midnight, you see these big old Buicks and Lincolns and Cadillacs. And it looked like a movie because they would get out and they would literally throw like wads of ones at each other in the middle of the street. And these dudes are wearing chains that are coming down, like, and it to me is like, wow, like, I don't know what they do, but I
want
to be that.
But I want part of that.
That's what I want. And big shout out to Big E, Manuel Sandoval, I love you. He basically took me in. And at the time, you know what I'm saying, like anywhere else in the world, you're going to find what you're looking for. If you want to stay out of trouble, there's an easy way to do that, you know, go that way. If you want to run right into it, come this way. And he kind of caught me in that age where I was like, I'm just wilding. And he was just like, but do you have a reason? Like, what are you out here doing? And he just kind of just, you know what I'm saying? He took me in at 13, 14 years old. He basically raised me. I love my father. You know, that's my dad. I always have one father. But Big E did have a big hand in like,
man,
hey.
This is crazy because we talked on the phone and I was like, man, we have a lot of similarities. And what you're telling me right now is something. It was like me listening to my story. Like, I growing up over here, same thing. My friends were, like, in the streets doing all this shit. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was raised to... My dad was a dope dealer. But that's why he moved us from Tamaulipas. He's like, I'm involved in this for y'all not to be involved in this. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to give y'all a good life so y'all don't have to do this shit, right? Uh-huh. So I remember... trying to wild it out with my friends. And I remember my best friend would tell me, like, nah, bro, you ain't got a reason to do this. And I'd be like, yeah, but I want to hang out. We'll hang out another time.
Yeah.
But you ain't got a reason to be out here.
Yeah.
He's like, man, you got a dad, you got a mom. He's like, I can't stand my dad. I hate my dad. But you got both of them. You get along with both of them. They take care of you. Just take your ass home.
And you still got that friend to this day?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's a blessing right there.
That's
still
a my
blessing.
Boy. Yeah, but so when you said that, I was like, it's cool that there's people out there like that that care, you know, because it's so easy to be like, I'm fucking up. You can fuck up with me. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
You know
why
mean?
Not?
But it takes a bigger person to be like, bro, you ain't got a reason to be out here. What the fuck you
doing?
Yeah. Take your ass home. You know what I mean? But so that was your introduction to hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to do music though? Because you wanted that lifestyle, the chains. It's easy to just dress up. You said Switch House got you going. But what was it where you were like, you know what, let me give this shit a try. Let me record. And,
like, throughout the timeline of where I met the like music to like where it took me. Shout out to Big Mac. That was the first engineer I ever worked with. I called him. I was like, hey, how much is your studio? He was like, it's like 35 or you could get 4 hours for 100. And I was like, well, give me the 4 hours. I'm 14 years old at the time. I'm trapping. I'm like... So I show up with a CD and a true story. He lives in Texas City to this day. Like that's the cool part about your story and my story. You could call these people like I still talk to them. And I went in there at 14 and in 4 hours, I recorded 16 songs. I recorded one. I did one ad lib and did the next beat. And I took no lyrics. I took a CD of beats and it was freestyle, 16 beats.
Yeah.
It was ad lib. And at the time, he's looking at me weird, right? Because in my head, I'm telling him what to do because, like, you know, I paid for the studio time. So drop it. Hey, go to the next one.
I'm
go
the
to
artist, the next. Bro.
Yeah. So he's looking at me like, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, bro. But, and at the same time, he's nodding his head like, I'll be damned if I'm overexpended. So, so I recorded the 16 songs and I was for sure I was going to go platinum. I was for sure like, oh, yeah. Cash Money's about to call me. It's about to go up. Like, and bro, then it didn't happen. And then it did
about
not
to turn into a million.
Shit, bro, I was like, I'm about to go off. Like, I'm picking out what color cars I'm buying, where I'm gonna go live at.
So Mom, none of, I'm getting you a house. My brother,
none
I'm
of that happens.
And
remember, I told you, I got, at this point, like, I'm paying rent, bro. Like, yeah. I'm paying rent at $13, $14, $200 a month. Like, I gotta come up with my own food, and that's just what it is. If you want to be on your own 10 toes out here, type thing. So real quick, I was like, all right, so I'm not gonna make it as a rapper because I like it didn't blow up like I thought I was, and I've always been like a real
So you make copies? You were trying to sell
there,
copies?
There's literally only one copy of. I don't even have
so
the copy.
So how the hell
of
were you trying to blow up? It's like playing. It's like wanting to win the lottery and not buying a scratch off.
Bro, like it was only one recorded CD of the 16 songs, and in my head, I was going to be listening to it, and somebody was going to see me listening to it and be like, say, I'm related to Lil Wayne, bro. That shit is fire. Let me get him on the phone. Like, at the time, right?
So,
hold on, no. Look, so I tell myself, because even at 14, when you got to pay, you know, when you got to pay rent and you know, hey, I got to come up with this money, right?
Yeah.
You look at the consequences are different. So you look at things different. So I was like, I'm going to put this $100 up and then I'm going to be balling. So when that didn't happen, I was like, okay, so go back to the studio with another $100. Or buy this little thing for $100, breaking it down and turn it into $300. And I was like, well, shit, nigga, I didn't make it as a rapper. And so throughout time, like a timeline, and I'd love to see this in person, they trip out. But I've took 10 years off of rap. I took 5 years off of rap. And like having a psychotic baby mama that you got to admit you love her somehow, some way, you still do. It's like I could run as far as I can, bro. And Baybrook Mall, I don't know if you're from out here, if you've been to it, it's like the Galleria of the South. I bought a house at 19 years old. I bought a house a mile away from there. My kids, they had marble floors and da-da-da. Like right now, I'm throwing it back at you. Where you said your dad moved you guys, you know what I'm saying, to get you away from that. Well, everybody thought, hey, he lives right there on Polk and Lockwood. That's where he's always posted up, Polk and Lockwood, right there on that corner. I'd wait for everybody, you know, whatever. I get in my car. I drive to Bay Area because I have my kids and my family. Like, a lot of, I hope my kids don't get mad for me saying this, there's nothing wrong. But I put my kids through private school in elementary. So I never had the Cadillac on Swangers. And I'm going to keep it real. I never had a slab. But my pride was, hey, I'm paying tuition on a third grader, but they're getting the best education. There's Black Galaxy marble floors in my son's room. Yeah. There's a jacuzzi tub for my daughter. That was my, like, hey, this is what I want. I didn't have the chains and the jewelry. And even right now, you see me, like, people think that I'm, like, a Supreme jeweler. Shout out to them. They endorse and sponsor my music. So some people, they assume that, like, I'm be walking around with $80,000 Rolex. And I'm like, bro, I live on a farm. Like if I have a G-Shock, I take it off because that's going to get all type of scratched up. So it's crazy, the similarities, like how you just said, like, your dad, and I commend him for it. The first thing you think about is your family. You know, some people touch money. Like, if you give somebody something they've never had, they're not going to know what to do with it. So you might want to get the car. You might want to get the jewelry. You might want to, you know, just go out to the bar and buy everybody's drink just so they know you got it.
Yeah.
But then you have those men that are built on principles and foundation. Like, nah, my family, bro, I got to make sure they're straight before anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that played out, where I never lived in Second Ward for a long period of time, but that's where people know me from. But the whole time my kids were all, you know what I'm saying, on Bay Area, and that was my pride and joy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. As it should, because, I mean, that's the same thing my dad would say. Like, if you know you got it, you got it.
People
don't have to know.
Yeah.
Like, if people think that you broke, that's better. He's like, because that way they can't come looking for you to rob you or to ask you for something.
Yeah.
He's like, it's best for them to think, he's nobody. I'm not. That's cool. That's what you think.
You know what's one of the most ironic things about that? Is that the people that do have it, the people that are living like that, right? they can't stand that guy. They can't stand the guy that's trying to flaunt it. The guy that, you know, they'd rather have a conversation with someone who has ideas, someone who has concepts, someone that, like, instead of like, oh, well, you know what I'm saying? You saw that car pulled up and you see how, like, but on the back end, like, bro, you're on E. Like, you're back on your payments. Yeah. And you know what I'm
saying? Well, you better hurry up before they come and fucking repossess that motherfucker.
Man, like, I've literally showed up to do shows in chanclas and, like, I don't have a sense of style. Like, I walked through a whole mall. Shout out to Plaza Americas. Yeah. I was here early, so I walked through the whole mall. They had all type of jerseys. They had all these crazy prints. And I saw these white tees, and I was like, I'll take that. I'm very simple. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What I tell people is, like, if I'm here to do music, bro, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, if I do a show this week, I need some new shoes. If I do a show next week, I got to have a new shirt. I'm like, nah, I'm here to do music. I ain't here to sell clothes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, as I'm, like, I'm trying to fit in and, like, like, I'm finding my way through entertainment because it changes. Like, I don't know if you know that, but every few years, the music, what people pay attention to, what people spend their money on, it all changes. So, like, trying to fit in, like, I won't take it to the skinny jeans. Like, I can't go there. Yeah. But, yeah, maybe I should start getting shirts with, like, different shit printed on them or whatever. But
shout out to the sponsors. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the sponsors.
I don't know what the fuck we were talking about anymore. No, so we were talking about your music, getting introduced to the music and whatnot. It's funny you said about the chanclas comment, because when I first saw you perform, it was at, I don't remember the name of the club, but I know G-Love had an event, and you performed. That was the first time I saw you, you know, got introduced to your music, period. Yeah. But you were wearing chanclas.
Yeah.
So, he's not lying. I do remember that.
Nah, like, that's one thing. I talk a lot of shit, but one thing I won't do, because I've thought about this, right? I'm like, my mom, shout out to my mom, I love you. She told me that one of her biggest prides in life is that no one can make her look at the floor when it comes to me. They can't come tell her, hey, your son's tatted up. She's like, I know that. They can't tell her, hey, we saw your son over there hitting a bong. She'll be like, you know, I know he smokes. But, like, it's a prideful thing that no one could throw it in her face.
Yeah.
So, to me, that put it in my head to where I was like, I never want to say something in the camera or microphone that somebody turn around and be like, hey, but hold up. Hold up. Watch how I look.
Gucci shit.
Right here. You're lying. Like, nah, I'm going to keep a thorough 1,000 with you. Like, like what? And honestly, I'm going to commend you on something. Because, like I told you, I've been wanting to get on your stuff for a minute. And the reason why, there's only certain people that like, I feel like, hey, like, I'm waiting for you, dog. I'm waiting for you. Is the people that I see that they take it as serious as I take it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what you breathe. Like, some people, they're like, I'm a rapper. And you're like, okay, but what else do you do? Oh, I work at the refineries. I'm an electrician. I'm a plumber. Shout out to all of them because they have a job, you know, but that's their profession. Correct. You know what I'm saying? And me, like, I live on a farm. I run a transport company. Really, I do dispatching more than anything else. So I'm legit on my phone all day long. So I'm watching it. I'm listening. And I love this. I love that whenever you take a stance, it doesn't matter where that puts you in the public eye. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm not going to bring them all up. I'm not going to bring them all. See, the body language. The fact that you busted out laughing, you know what I'm talking about. And the two or three times that this has happened, that I've seen, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you take a stand and be like, hey, I'm going to plant my flag. Whoever stands next to me and says, yeah, I'm with them, or whoever leaves a comment like, hey, you're full of shit and da-da-da, this is what I feel about it.
Yeah.
And bro, like, on everything I love, I'm very big on, if a man can stand on his own 10 toes, I could go stand next to that man and have a conversation.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that has to be leaning on somebody, or you got to get a cosign from somebody, you need somebody holding your hand, or you got to hold somebody's pocket, bro, like, there's nothing me and you could converse about that's going to get me ahead in life or teach me something I didn't know. So, like, when I see how you handle your situations, and even when we walked in here, you were like, the content is, you know what I'm saying, what I put out there. Like, if I want to wear a fitted hat, if I want to wear Lokes, and there's people that they're like, hey, if you want to, you're doing good. But if you want to do better, change the glasses, change the hat. And now you're almost turning into what they want you to be.
People don't know. These are actually, if I take this off, you're a blur.
Yeah.
It's actually prescription.
See, like, keeping 1,000, I thought they were like some badass Ray-Burns, Versace's. The whole time I've been watching the show, I'm like, that nigga.
If I take you hold off, I'm just like a Chinese bird. Man. I mean, my eyes are little, my bad. my eyes are little, be like, I can't see shit, bro.
I can't,
like,
see nothing.
It's a blur. I take pride in that, bro. I was having this conversation earlier. Right now I'm getting roasted with the whole crystal popping thing. And I get it. I get it. Crystal's beautiful. I get it. And I get on her live, people taking shots at me, people tagging me about how I stood her up and shit. And I get it. It's fucked up. But, bro, what people don't understand, I was talking to somebody else at the time. What kind of hoe-ass dude would I be if, because, this girl knows Julio, yeah, but Jay Vaz is going to fuck with Crystal Poppin'. Yeah. What kind of hoe-ass shit is that? In my eyes. I mean, I don't know. People do it. Whatever. Do what y'all do. But
when you say left her, like stood her up, you mean like, no, but I'm saying like you shot a text or like an email
I haven't talked about this exclusive.
Oh, my bad. I'm over here like,
I have not talked about this publicly.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell you the story right quick. Chilling at the house one night.
Shout out Crystal Poppin.
Shout out Crystal Poppin. Chilling at the house one night and I get a text. Actually it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and DJ Chanelie Dallas, she hits me up and she's like, hey, your girlfriend looking for you. Saying girlfriend because I've always, I don't know if you follow me. Yeah, you do have me on Facebook, yeah, but I don't know if you pay attention. I'm always talking about my boo Crystal Poppin' this, yeah, my boo Crystal Poppin' that. She's like, your girlfriend looking for you. Oh, and I was like, who? And then she's like, your girlfriend. And I was like, jokingly, I was like, you? And she's like, no,
Crystal Poppin'. That boy Poppin' shot a shot. Yeah,
no, shout out to China Lee. That's the homie. That's the homie. But that's how we got along. You? But that's how we got along. So I was like, you. She's like, no, Crystal Poppin'. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, get on IG and look. So again, once I'm in the morning, I was knocked out. I tell you, I go to sleep early.
Yeah.
So I get on IG, I look, and I was like, I was tagged on Crystal Poppin's story, and Crystal Poppin' has a selfie, and it says, when is the Jay Vashel going to take me out? So I was like, oh, cool. Didn't reply. Wake up the next day and I found
just this. Left it on red.
Well, hold on.
Hold up. Like, yeah, no, let's tell the story right.
1 in the morning.
I left it on red. Yeah. At 1 in the morning. Okay. Yeah.
So I wake up the next morning. I see there was like an elote picture on somewhere on the internet or on Facebook, and it said, "Be my Valentine?" Question mark on the elote with like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, this is my reply. So I uploaded it on Instagram, tagged Crystal, and I was like, "Whenever you come back to Houston," she was in Colorado doing a show with GT Garza. So then she replies. Not publicly anymore. She replies to my DMs.
Now we're in the DMs.
Yeah, now we're in the DMs. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we should go out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, cool. At this point, I'm like, you know, I don't want to say who I was talking to, but I was having conversations with somebody else. And I was like, cool. But then she hits me with, this is what fucked everything up for me. And again, it's the first time talking about it publicly, and it's not to put
it. E45 got it out of him. Y'all look. E45 underscore Benitez Instagram. I got it out of him. Okay,
so
then
I tell her, this turned into like a cheese man.
Hey, we're already here. Hey, you're going to edit it, so you can keep whatever you want, take whatever you want out of it.
So then I was like, cool. And then she's like, we can when we're done, we can create content and make content.
Man.
So that word content fucked me up. I was like, am I really going to throw away what could be a relationship for content?
Yeah.
Right? So then I was like, well, let me know what you want to do. So then she tells me, and I was like, cool, I'll let you know next week.
Mm-hmm.
But then this time I'm like, she says she wants to create content. But I'm talking to somebody that I've been talking to for a while. I kind of would like this to be a relationship. But if I go out with KP on Valentine's Day, that makes me look like I'm not interested
the biggest
in the person
dog in
that
the
I've
world.
Been talking to. Right? So that's what people don't understand. So that's why, now, could I have handled it different? Yes, I could have, but I didn't. So when Crystal hits me up, I leave her on red. And then she's like, so is it still, are we still down? I looked at it, left her on red, completely forgot to reply, never looked back. And the next thing you know, she calls me out publicly on one of her lives.
She said, I'm going to tag your ass. I'm going to make sure the whole world knows about you.
On live, how I left on red, and I'll play the clip. I have the clip somewhere on my phone, and I'll play it after this. But
and it was just an elote. It wasn't even like a steak dinner. You stood her up on some elote?
No, we were
like,
supposed to
go out and have
dinner.
I was about to say, like, damn, bro.
So, because see, initially, when we had the conversation, in my head, I was like, if I take her out to eat, you know what, I'll take her out somewhere nice, blah, blah, blah. But then she said, content. We can create content. That changed everything, bro. That changes everything.
I ain't going to lie. Like, look, I'm shout out to Crystal Poppins. Like I said, I don't be all in the mix, but I be, like, looking from a distance type, right? And one thing she did do, I'm like, and really is, you know what I'm saying, you had a hand in it. She made a whole TikTok of other females talking about, nah, I like big dudes. Like, I like big dudes. So big dudes came up because of JVaz. Hey, for real. Y'all up. Hey, and I used to be one.
Know your worth.
I'm like right in the middle right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like on my way down, but I ain't all the way at the bottom yet. But like, not for nothing, bro. Big boys came up.
So that's around
and
the
time. And it's hot outside right now. That's a lot.
The time this happened. And then it just happened that her one of my closest friends in the industry, Smooth Vega, started managing her.
Oh, okay.
Right? And he calls me one day. He's like, hey, bro, you ready? I said, what's up, bro? I had no idea what he was talking about. He's like, you fucked up. Now, what are you talking about? He's like, you know the whole thing about you and KP?
You on World Star.
He said you're on World Star.
He's like, that you were joking around? I said, yeah. She's like, I think she was for real. And I was like, well, I mean, at this point, it's been months. It is what it is. And he's like, are you even still talking?
Hold up. Just for the record, are y'all together? Or are y'all talking?
Nah.
Oh, I'm nosy, nah. So I'll just jump in there and just be like, hey, what it is?
We're not. Okay. We're not. But then I was like, bro, it's been some months. It don't matter. He's like, well, I think you still have a shot, bro. And I was like, are you even talking to that person you were talking to? I was like, I'm not. He's like, bro, if I were you, I was like,
because I'm single. He's like,
nah. But, so that's what happened. People don't know the full story. People are just...
So, but let me ask you this. And not that one thing has nothing... Yeah, no, because like, if you open the comment, we're going to find out. Okay, so the person that you were talking to, right?
Yeah.
And like, whoever that is. Did they ever make you feel like the growth of your show, the growth of your name, the growth of your character, your persona, mm-hmm. that social media, was that ever like a threat to that person? Or did it ever make them feel or was...
Well, you got
to
understand, this person, me and this person had we've known each other.
Oh, so it was like, it was a history to it.
Yeah, no, well, not history, but we've known each other for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming by now, because again, I've been involved in this since I was 16. Mm-hmm. I'm 35. So this happened when I was, you know, beginning of the year. So I'm assuming she would have known who I am and how I'm not... I don't let these cameras affect Julio outside
who you
of here.
Are, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think she felt threat or anything. And mm-hmm. she never made it seem as if, you know, oh, if you do this, you can't do this, you can't be with me. Yeah, ain't nothing mm-hmm. like that. So nah.
And but the reason I ask you that
I'm
is because and the reason I ask you that is because I have friends that are in the, you know, in the entertainment business, whatever. And it's a trip because, like I said earlier, it's about perception.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in the club in the VIP section, you got a bottle in your hand and women, and instantly you're a dog because you're sleeping with them and you're drunk. And honestly, I don't even drink, but I done took a video in a snip of a video holding a bottle up and da-da-da. But it's to me, it's a trip how you have to juggle your personal life and what you're trying to do on the other hand. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, no, I don't have all these cars and all these jewelry, but it's, you know, if it rhymes and it sounds good on a beat, you know, I'm in it. Entertainment. I'm entertaining you. But that, I think that's dope if you did have, you know, or you have someone in your life that understands, hey, I have to put on a show.
At some point I did. It's gonna get dark. Damn.
It's gonna get dark.
At some point I did.
Then I started listening to country music.
I also fucked that up. If there's anything I'm good at, is fucking up.
Hey.
But before this whole KP thing, it's another thing that people don't understand. I had just got off of a relationship that I had been together for almost 6 years. You can't just get out of a relationship and jump into it. Again, y'all do what y'all do, but in the real world where people actually care about other people, you don't just get out of one relationship and wake up the next day and think it's okay to go fuck up somebody else. Yeah. I wasn't ready to be in any kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to get to know nobody. The only reason I was still talking to this person is because I had previously known her for a long ass time and everything was lining up.
It almost sounds like you got to learn about yourself in the process of some of this. Like, honestly, and the reason I say that is because somebody asked me a question.
This show can't be about me, but yes.
Bro, somebody blew my mind. Somebody blew my mind. They were like, hey, on a timeline, when was the last time that you were 100% alone, single, not talking to nobody, not trying to talk to nobody, not cheating on nobody, like legit alone? And I thought about it, and man, I've had long, like, you know what I'm saying, like 13 years, but sixth grade. That was the last time, like the sixth grade, that was the first time where like you're old enough to talk to somebody and be like, hey, look, my mom, my dad, my brother, they don't need to know about this conversation right here.
Yeah.
But since then, I've kind of always had somebody, right? And then I went through a period in my life where it was like my mental, like it wasn't even to like have a conversation with anybody. Yeah. And right there, I learned more about myself than I had ever in my life.
Before I continue on, I was going to say, this is not even an interview anymore. This is just a conversation. This is the kind of podcast I've been wanting to have. Shit. But you're right. You're right, bro. Whenever the breakup happened,
mm-hmm.
for like the next 4 months after the breakup, I was drinking. And I posted this the other day. Yeah. People might think I'm bullshitting, but I started drinking. I've never been a drinker. Yeah. But it just felt right because my dad passed and I didn't drink because the person
I'm sorry for your loss right there.
I appreciate
bro.
You. The person that I was with would tell me, like, this is not what your dad would want. And she was right. You know, I'm not saying she was wrong. But I held it together for that time. And then, you know, maybe a year, less than a year later, we break up.
Mm-hmm.
So when those two things got together, at this point, I have nobody telling me, that's not what your dad
don't
wants.
Do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. So I start drinking.
Uh-huh.
And I started realizing how it was fucking with me in a negative way. I was going to events. I wasn't remembering what the hell was happening.
You were like blacking out.
So then I get home and I'm thinking, was I disrespectful to somebody? Shout out to Yazzie Nicole. I didn't disrespect her, by the way. But I went up to her one day after I had been fucked up, and I told her, I said, hey, Yazzie, was I disrespectful to you yesterday? She's like, no, why? I was like, I was fucked up. She's like, you were.
But like, you legit didn't remember.
I didn't remember. And I remember I was.
Yeah, that's called blacking out. I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
And I was next to her for, you know, I don't know how long, but that's the first person I was like, man, I hope I wasn't disrespectful to nobody in any kind of way.
Yeah.
She's like, nah, you're cool, Jay. Like, you didn't say nothing. You were respectful the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, good. After that night, I was like, do I really want to keep doing this? This is getting me nowhere, literally getting me nowhere. That's when I started to find myself. I started doing things that were, I'll go to the movies by myself, you know, like just
enjoying your own company.
Enjoying my own time. So when you said, I found myself in the process, I did. I stopped drinking. I haven't had a drink in about a year now.
Congratulations, man.
Appreciate you. And I've been finding, I guess, a getaway and other things.
Yeah.
Going to the movies by myself, staying at the house, watching Netflix by myself. Yeah. People invite me out. I told you this before. People invite me out, I'm like, I'm an hour and a half away, bro. I don't feel like driving, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Or shit like that. Or if I plan something with my mom, now my mom's more important. My dad's not here. So, you know, you want to come hang out? Kind of supposed to take my mom out to the store and shit, so I can't just, you know, leave my mom hanging. So this goes all back to the whole KP thing. I get it. KP is beautiful, talented. She's got a lot going.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, common sense would say if you have the opportunity, jump
take
on
it,
that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. The content part messed me up. And even if that wouldn't have messed me up, even to this day, right now, I don't think I'm actually ready to be in a relationship.
Man, and you know, like, sometimes, I was out of town, look, when I was out of town this last time, because like, I pray a lot, I pray a whole lot, right? And so this last time that I was out of town, like, I kind of got in a situation where I just jumped in prayer, and I was just like, God, like, you know, this is getting out of hand, like, I don't know, you know, what's up. And whenever I hear God, I don't hear him the way that me and you are talking, like, I feel him, like, in my bones, like, I get the goosebumps. And I felt God tell me sometimes you need the strength to get through things, right? But sometimes you need strength for restraint. Sometimes you need strength to not do things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for you to like self-diagnose yourself enough to be like, hey, yes, that's a beautiful woman. That's a very talented woman, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But me, myself, I'm not ready for that. And by me not being ready, the only thing I could do is trouble her or make her situation harder or complicate, you know, the cool friendship that I already have with her as it is. That to me is being a man. That right there is some gangster ass shit. Like, you knowing, hey, like, this is what's wrong with me. Because like me, I had to really sit down and ask myself, like, hey, you keep blaming the whole world. This happened because of this. This happened because of my dad. This happened because of my baby mama. This happened to the... Where are you accountable for some of this shit? Where do you become responsible for some of the, hey, okay, if they've spilled milk, it's already out of the gallon. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And then, like, I have a box of rules that I just run back to that I've collected them throughout time. And Beatrice Burden, she was I was driving her to dialysis 3 times a week. And she told me something that changed my outlook on life altogether. She said, give people their flowers while they're still here.
Yeah.
Don't wait for them to die to go put it on their coffin. Give them their, and not just flowers in a physical sense, but give people their props, give people their respect. Somebody once told me, and here's where like the whole trajectory of my life changed. they were like, everybody has two crowds. You got the right now and you got the forever. The right now, that's who you bump into along the way, that maybe they like your ride, maybe they'll chill with you, maybe they won't. Your forever, if your car breaks down, those are going to be the ones on the side of the road with you. So what you should do is start paying more attention to your forever crowd.
Yeah.
And bro, when I tell you, when I went from, and I ain't going to lie, when I went from DMing females to trying to get to know females after my divorce, and I was like, hey, I'm single. Everybody's telling me that this is the shit. Like, being single is supposed to be a good thing because I could just run through these holes and da-da-da. Bro, that's when I started getting in my son's ear about cutting hair. And knock on wood, I wish him the best of luck. He's going into his third week now of barber school. He's 16. By the time he's 17, he'll have his driver's license, his barber license, and he'll be going into real estate classes. You know, so that probably would have never happened for my son had somebody not told me, nigga, you need to worry about who's going to be here forever. Your mom, now I got a catering business with my mom. My dad, now we got cows, we got pigs, like we do livestock.
Yeah.
And all these things that are going good for me, and I thank God every morning for them, they're because I started paying attention to the people that are going to be there forever. The people on Facebook, the people on Instagram, shout out to y'all. Appreciate y'all streaming, whatever. But, bro, they got a life just like everybody else.
Yeah.
They have a crowd where they're like, I got a mom, I got a dad, I got kids. And so whenever I started focusing more on me and mine like that, empower the people around you, that's when it went from, hey, instead of getting a car on Swangers, I want a DBA. I want an LLC. You know, I'm proud to say it. For the last 6 years, I work for myself. I'm employed by Benitez Transport, my own DBA. Like, I own that. So it literally took people like along the way. It's almost like God sends you guardian angels at certain checkpoints of life to tell you, hey, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to sound like them. You don't have to dress like them. You could, you know, try this, try that. And it was literally a hood. You know, I ain't gonna put his name out there like that. But he was like, hey, what do you do with your money? Because at some point, the IRS did it, and bro, lace me up on go to the bank, tell them you want to be the sole proprietor of your company. It has to have your last name in it for it to be a DBA. You could get a registered LLC. You could employ yourself. And it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And that's what I told you earlier. Like, when I legit talk to millionaires every day, and I'm proud to say that. I'm not saying it because I'm a millionaire. I'm not a millionaire. But if you want something, find who has it. Then get next to them and learn how they got it. And eventually, it's like an old expression. If you hang around a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. You know what I mean? And so my son, I told him, I said, look, if you give me from 18 to 21, by the time you turn 22, your life will be made. So my dream right now is on his 18th birthday, we're going to throw that party at his house under his name. And by then, hey, you know what? Rent this one out, blah, 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 get another one. And I legit have a timeline where I'm like, look, I don't have time. Like, people ask me, hey, why don't you go to this event? Because they didn't pay me.
Yeah.
If they're not paying me, like, it's not that I'm too good to show up. But if I got to pay for the gas, if I got to pay for the food while I'm there, if I got to, you know, buy stuff from vendors because I'm not a hater, you know what I'm saying? I'll show you love. If I got bread, I'll buy you a little shirt, whatever. If I'm going to do all that and make nothing, or sit at home and let my son practice his fade on my ball fade on my taper so he could pass his exam, you could keep the club in the bar, bro. I'm going to be over here, you know, Chop by Gordo. That's the name of his. He's going to have a whole barbershop, Chop by Gordo. He's already making the logo for Instagram and TikTok. And so I feel you when you're like, hey, look, I started going to the movies by myself, taking my mom to the grocery store. Because not for nothing, that's what put my life back together. That's why people call it the fetal position. When someone knocks the wind out of you, you go back to a fetal position because that's how you are when you go in your mom's stomach. Bro, life knocked the fucking wind out of me. Like legit, I was mentally checked out. And I had to go back to my roots. I had to go back to farm life. I had to go back to that to really find, hey, you know what? What I want to do with life, I just want to make enough to get by as long as I work and I could have breakfast and lunch with my mom and my dad. I could work with my son. I don't need $1 million. Yeah. I don't need, you know what I'm saying? I'm simple.
Man, and I'm glad you say that because my dad passed away in 2021. By 2019, 28, right before COVID, I was living in Houston, right? Yeah. Living in Houston. And then my dad hit me up and he was like, no, mijo, pues estamos muy solos. And I was like, I'll go back. Mm-hmm. But not to Hempstead. I didn't want to live in Hempstead. That's where I currently live now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to live there. I was like, I'll go back, but we have to live somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, where do you want to go? I was like, don't know, Belleville, something that's not in Hempstead. I didn't want to live in a little country ass fucking town. Mm-hmm. And Belleville's just as country. Yeah. But I just didn't want to go back to where I was living. He's like, okay, busco una casa y nos vamos para Belleville. Boom, boom, boom. Ended up in Belleville.
Man, right? I didn't know your dad, bro, but from every way that you've mentioned him and in every story, like when I leave here, I'm gonna ask you for his name so I could pray like for him and you tonight. My bad to cut you off.
No,
but I mean that because like, damn, like he's ready to uproot his whole life, his whole day to day, just so his son could be home.
One of the cool things that I was so thankful that I was able to thank him while he was still alive, uh-huh. when he wasn't sick or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I told him just on a random ass day, I don't know why or what I felt. Then I was like, hey, you know, I just want to say thank you for everything. Thank you for everything you sacrificed. Thank you for everything you've done for me. It was a random thing. It wasn't like a moment or
just
I
happened.
Was drunk or anything. It just happened. So I'm thankful I was able to do that. Because, yeah, my dad was willing to do whatever it took to make sure I got ahead. Right? And he would always tell me, he's like, yo estoy viejo. Like, lo que yo haga ya no importa. Lo que hago yo es por ti.
Para ti.
So when you said the life knocked the wind out of you, so a lot of people don't know this because I don't really get personal on my podcast, but I was, everything that I was doing was for me, right? Because dad was doing everything for mom.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever decision I made was just me. It don't
solely
matter.
On like, your
if I
ten toes.
If I want to spend money on this, I can do this, and that. I don't know where my dad gets sick on a Friday, passes away Sunday morning. When you're talking about my life changed like this, because now I have a brother and I have three sisters, but they have a family. I don't have any kids. So automatically, when I see my dad take his last breath, like literally saw him take his last breath, the first thing that I was like, fuck, I was in shock, right? I was like, I want to cry, but I can't. First thought in my head was,
man, you made yourself hold it in right there?
Yeah. I was like, my dad would want me to take care of my mom. So my mom's losing her shit. I was like, ma, cálmese, ma. And trying to, you know, calm her down, calm my mom down a little bit. I start making the phone calls. I have to call my brother. Straight up told my brother. He's like, ¿qué pasó, güey? And I was like, hey, se nos fue el viejo, güey. And he's like, no mames. I was like, no digas eso. I was like, bro, it's what it is. Don't rush. Take your time. There's nothing you can do. But I'm here at the house, and it is what it is. Hang out with him. Have to call my sisters. Obviously call my brother-in-laws and tell them, like, hey, bring my sister.
Damn, the crazy part is that you got to take the trip with each single one of them while they find out.
Correct. So what I'm telling you, I was not ready for this. So the whole thing of you saying live, knock your wind out, that's what happened to me right there because I was not ready to take care of my mom. I could barely take care of my goddamn self, if we're being quite honest.
Yeah.
But now...
Now you don't have the option.
The provider's gone.
Yeah.
The guy that has looked out for me anytime something I got stuck or needed an extra cash or whatever I needed, he's gone. So now it's me. It's me on my own, and I got to look out after my mom. Right? So I got criticized for a lot of the decisions I made by family members. Like, what the fuck ever. Not my close friends, like my brothers. Yeah. And they were like, tios, tias.
Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah. So they were like, don't do this. Don't move here. I was like, look, man. I'm moving to my sister's house for the next year or so because mom can't be by herself. That's the decision I made. Whether it was the right decision or not, I don't give a fuck. That was the decision I made.
That was your decision.
And I was like, we're moving in. And then my sister, because my sister came up to me after, you know, they came pick my dad up, the morgue, whatever the hell it's called. And then my sister's like, ¿y ahora qué? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I literally didn't have no answer.
If you don't
like,
mind me asking, so how old were you at that time?
32.
Wow.
32. So, but again, I've been shelled, bro. I've been taken care of by this man that everything, if I had a flat tire, my dad would be like, no. Pagamos para alguien te la haga. Like, it was always like that. So I was ignorant to the world. I just knew what I knew, and I knew about me, how to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So then my sister's like, come live with us. And I was like, ask mom. Like, that was literally my answer. And my mom was like, pues tú sabes? I was like, okay, cool. We're going to do that.
Damn.
So I make that decision. And up to now, like, everything I'm doing is new to me, bro.
Yeah.
So I understand about life knocking the wind out of you. Because I wasn't ready to, like, again, I wasn't ready to see my dad take his last breath. I wasn't ready to say, you know what? The city that I didn't want to live in when my dad was alive.
That's where you end up.
I end up buying a house there because that house is 15 minutes away from my sister. No, 10 minutes away from my sister's house. Selfishly, I wasn't even being selfish. It was more of, I mean, you see where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So I know my mom's the house by herself. So right now, who showed up when I talked on the phone? And my sister showed up. So I know she's close to my family, to my sisters. So yeah, life is fucking weird. Life knocked the wind out of me. Knocked the wind out of me and changed my whole perspective in life. And again, that's what helped me kind of sit back and start realizing what matters, what doesn't. Mom matters.
Yeah.
Going out on a dinner with some chick, she gonna find somebody she likes tomorrow. I don't give a fuck. And if she, and if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
You know how like whenever you're driving a car back to back to back, at some point you have to pay attention to the mileage to change the oil, right? I can't remember who it was that was like, hey, periodically, you got to do an inventory of your life. And I was like, what? And they were like, you know how they do QC in companies? Hey, there's 36 phones here, so we have to count that there's 36. It says that there's this much here. Like, you have to do an inventory of your life. And if you do that, bro, like, you really sit there and you're like, what's in my life and why is it there? You come up with so many different people that you're like, you know what? Like, this motherfucker is just here to take up space and room. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that's I'm not benefiting out of the whole, like, having you here type shit. And at 30-something years old, bro, like, oh, well, not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but just to get to that age without having a child, nowadays you can't get out of high school without, oh, you know, so you already got a baby from so-and-so or da-da-da-da-da. And I believe that having a child is like the most important decision in any human being, man or woman. So I commend you for that. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that you were right there in that position to like kind of like, you know, be there as the backbone. Like, hey, I'm going to hold this together.
Yeah.
Bro, like I commend you on that like crazy. Like I've dabbed people up for good music. I've dabbed people up for good videos and shit like that. But real life, my whole life revolves around my kids and my parents.
Yeah.
Because whenever my life revolved around me, it was about the right now. It was about, like, you know, how could I get over it and how fast could I do it so I could get to the next thing, you know what I'm saying? But whenever you hit a wall where it's like, okay, well, now
there's more to my life than my
life. Now your role changes, you know what I'm saying? There's only two things you could do, flight or fight. You're either going to run from it or, you're going to stand in front of it, throw your chingazos and let it land how it lands. And so many people, they stay uncomfortable. Once they get comfortable, that's it. Yeah. I'm good right here. And you have to come out of your comfort to grow, to evolutionize into something new. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy that some people, they catch their growth spurts different throughout life. And it sounds like at 30-something years old, bro, like your whole life went from one thing, one extreme to the other. And I saw you before we went on camera and all that. Like, your family, you're so family-oriented. Like, even when we talked on the phone before this interview, you were like, bro, like, where I live is 10 minutes from right here. And I was like, bro, I literally live next to my parents. They live next to my sister, my brother, you know. So it's so cool to see that there's still people like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because nowadays, it's about the right now, right here, and that's it. That's what people are worried about.
And to make things even more sad, there's people that are like us, but they try to hide it because it's not cool.
They're embarrassed, though.
They're embarrassed.
I made a song. That is the most important song I want you to hear before I leave. It's called I Ask God. That's the name of the song, I Ask God. And I told you, I'm a writer, so I've always challenged myself to write. Like, I'm like, hold up, you could rap in English, do it in Spanish. Started writing rhymes in Spanish. I was like, hey, you could rap about popping trunk and gripping grain, rap about life. I rapped about that. At one point, I was like, well, if you're so good, let's see you write without cursing. Because you're so, people hear my music, you know I'm very, blah, blah, blah. So I taught myself how to write clean, like write. And so Goto's put me down with this company that they stream music in 34 state prisons. The only guidelines are they can't be gangbanging lyrics. They can't have sexual explicit lyrics, and it has to have a positive message in order for them to play it. These are the three things that they ask any artist. No curse words, no gang, no sexual explicit lyrics, and something positive. So in the song, I'm like, in my heart and in my mind, I accept Jesus Christ. You know, like, and some people like may say, well, hold up. How is it that you're claiming to be a Christian, but I just saw you twisting up a blunt. I just saw you, da, 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 da. And in the song, this is why the song is so important to me. It shows my belief. My belief is personal. I believe there's a God. I believe in your conscience. You know if you were right. What I believe, everything boils down to intention. You could do something wrong and have the right intention, or you could do something right and have the wrong intention for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so in the song, it's basically like, I'll let you hear it. it's basically me asking God, like, hey, if you hear everybody crying and complaining about their life, why won't you fix it? And God's response is, because this is the life I gave you. I gave some with more. I've given some without less. But this is what I decided for you. And through my mom, through talking to them about the Bible and God, it's an insult to God for us to expect perfection from ourselves. We're supposed to make mistakes. We're not supposed to expect perfection. Only God is perfect, because that's the belief. So I believe in God. I believe in pushing a message like, hey, get your prayer game up, right? I pray for everybody. Like I told you before I leave here, I got to a point in my life where, no, I'm not a millionaire. No, I don't have everything I want. But God's blessed me enough that when I pray, I don't want to pray for me. I don't want to pray, hey, God, give me a record deal. Yeah. I'd rather pray for, hey, I heard the story today. It gave me goosebumps while the man said the story. And this is what I want to pray for him. I want to pray for the person I saw at a restaurant earlier that I had a conversation with. So that song is super important to me, because not only is it a song that I'm going to put out and this and that, but it's going to be to motivate people that are in right now. If your life's messed up, if you could get up, open the door, if you could get in your car and drive somewhere, there's people that literally live in a room like this. And what me and you are doing, this is all they could do until X amount of years passed that they could go home. And so for that particular song to be going out to them, to give them that message, like, hey, look, there's a lot of lyrics in that song that you'll hear where it's like, you know, just keep your prayer game right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you keep your mental right. There is a God. There is somebody up there. You know what I'm saying? However you pray to him, whoever you pray to, you just have to believe that there's something bigger than us. You know what I'm saying? If you believe what's in front of you is all there is, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in all honesty, I that's all I feel. I feel sorry for you. And so whatever, like this right here, I tell God every morning, if it's for me, bring it to me. If it's not for me, please keep me away from it. This was supposed to happen on this day. This was supposed to happen after you went through whatever. I didn't even know how this interview was going to go. It was like a freestyle. It was like, hey.
We were talking about KP. Yeah. And now we were talking about.
In honesty, even if my interview doesn't get the most likes or the most views or whatever, I wanted to go out, because this was a real conversation where the cameras and microphones were on or off. And that's what you stand for.
I haven't touched shit from the notes.
That's what I stand for.
We're talking about everything but the notes.
Yeah, no, man. And in honesty, that's what I stand for. Yeah. I stand for authenticity. Like, I tell my close friends, if I know you're telling me the truth, if I know you're telling me the truth, I'm going to respect it before I decide if I like it or dislike it.
Yeah.
I'm going to respect it before anything, because you're doing what I asked you to do. Keep it real with me. And people keep it real with you as long as it's convenient for them. But then when it stops, then it's like, oh, nigga, what happened to all that? You know what I'm saying? So, to wrap this up or whatever, I want to commend you on what you do, bro. And the reason that I say that is because my first language was Spanish. I remember listening to the white kids talk and trying to guess what they were saying or what they were referring to. And so to meet somebody from that background, and like where you're at right now, you know, you're literally on the other side of the wall from a legit, like, a dinosaur in entertainment. Like, I'll never forget whenever I told people that, hey, I'm Gold Toes, da 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 da. They were like, hey, bro, you remember that song by South Park Mexican? When we walk on toes. When we ride on foes. And I was like, yeah, they said, go back and listen to South Park Mexican's verse. Listen to the last bar he says on that song. I'ma chop up the game with Sean G and Gold Toes. Bro, Gold Toes was making money behind the scenes when South Park Mexican wrote that song. He's been locked up 20, 30, 40 years or some shit. And he's still literally, he has a view where you seen the view.
You know what's crazy? Look, but go ahead, I'm gonna let you finish.
And like, honestly, I just wanna give you your flowers, bro. Thank you, bro. People that know me know I ain't trying to win brownie points. I don't do no dick riding, none of that. But I give props where they're due. And the fact to see a Hispanic, I don't give a fuck if you're Mexican, Salvadoran, Honduran, that you're Hispanic and people want to know, hey, what's your opinion? Hey, how do you feel about this song? How do you feel about this topic? The fact that you've done that for yourself, bro, like, in honesty, bro.
Appreciate you,
like,
bro.
I respect that deep. And the reason, like, en español, I would say porque tiene corazón. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do anything, but there's a way of doing it with dignity and class.
Yeah.
And bro, like, on everything I love, talk your shit, because I'm a fan. And I've seen you tell, I saw you, that boy T, I've seen you tell the people, like, hey, man, I'm a fan of you. I'm a fan of you. Like I sit on my farm and I'm like, damn, that nigga just said, fuck. And like, hey, man, and one time for all the Hispanics worldwide, you know what I'm saying? They can't shut us up. Like my music, if you really, really listen to my music, you'll think that like I'm some cocky ass dude that's talking shit. But in all honesty, like I've learned about myself.
Yeah.
And one thing, I'm an exhibitionist. I love having the attention. I don't care what we're doing. If we're playing marbles, if we're playing pool, I like putting on a show. I like knowing I'm being watched, right? So whenever I go to these clubs and I go to, shout out to Highway Yella, shout out to ESG, shout out to Lil Flip, shout out to Youngster. Bro, I got to freestyle with these people. You know what I'm saying? And not only did I get to do it, right? I had the cipher. I had the people around like, like on different lines that I said, right? So like I told you earlier, ain't it a trip like working with the people that it's you crazy. Grew up listening to, right? Shout out to Rashid. I just did a show in Denver in Colorado with Rashid. And shout out Low G. My kids, they chop it up with Low G. Like that's how cool, you know what I'm saying? So, and like for my kids to sing word for word, the Hustle Town song, the Real on the Roof, and 5 minutes later, Low G sitting in the car, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost surreal sometimes because it might not be like, you know, Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, but if you're local, you know, from
those
Houston,
are Jay-Z's
these are our Jay-Z's and Lil Wayne. So I got a verse from Lil Kiki that I did at Rap A Lot. I'm redoing that song. I got a song with Brick. So it's like I don't have a big social media thing, but I've been blessed to just be put in certain rooms and certain, you know what I'm saying, to meet certain people to where like you know about me. Like you said you saw my show and I was in Chanclas. Like to me, that's the only way that I could have gave you my music. I could tell you listen to 100 songs, but I'd rather perform one in front of you so you could see, so you could really get the show. Because that's another thing I've been working on where I want it to be a show. Like some people don't understand the difference between reciting lyrics and putting on a show. You know what I'm saying? So this venue that I started the whole conversation with, it's 100% creative control. So when they told me that, I said I wanted to be like an adult quinceañera. I want you to get there and there's like number tables. You can sit down and eat with the music playing and you getting crunk. Then you move the tables. We're going to dance for a little bit. You think you can sing? Fuck it. Go up there. Throw your gritos. You know, sing. Then we'll go back to the dancing. I'm going to perform. After that, everybody go home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And I learned this from a booking agency. They were like, okay, when you get Drake to come down, right? They get 5 revenues of income for every person. You can't go see a show without parking because you don't want nobody to break in your shit because you parked 4 blocks away. So you pay for the parking. You pay for the ticket to get in. Then when you get in, you're going to be thirsty. Then when you get thirsty, you're going to get hungry. And you can't go see Drake without buying something that says, I came to see Drake, so we're going to sell him merchandise. So for every person that comes in, we're going to get 5 streams of revenue on. When that man told me that, I said, watch me shrink that. I'm not Drake. I'm not renting the Toyota Center. But if I could charge you to get in, if I could charge you for the food, if I could charge you for the drink, and I could send you home saying, hey, I had a good time there. Bro, like, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that'll be, I think, next Saturday. Yeah, so it's supposed to be really dope. Because a lot of people don't know how to dance. And I love dancing bachata, merengue, salsa, punta. Like, I love that shit.
I would have never guessed it. I would have never guessed it.
That's my shit.
So on top of music and you know, basically entrepreneur. You're not just an artist, which is something that, again, a lot of people might not know. But I've seen you, you know, you even told me about how, you know, you shoot pool professionally and shit like that.
Be in Vegas next month playing a $25,000 tournament. Bro, if we play, it's $5,000 a hit. And last year we got 32nd out of 540 teams last year. And thankfully, shout out to my team. We won the trip. So they pay for your flight, your hotel, the entry to the tournament, and they give you some spending money while you're there. So from the 7th to the 11th, I'll be playing a national tournament. Man, y'all just pray for me. You know what I'm saying? Whatever God wants
July
to happen
July
that
7th
day.
To the 11th?
Yeah.
August.
August, yeah, yeah, August. And so I want to do, like, I'm more of an in-person type of guy. So I've been going to California a lot. So shout out to everybody in California, the whole state, both sides, everything. A lot of dope artists out there. They're starting to rock with me. So now I'm gonna start going towards New York. I got a few plugs out there in Bronx. Shout out to GT. That's the cool thing about GT. You could go anywhere in the country. I've done this. You go anywhere in the country, call Gold Toes and be like, "Hey, who's the GT out here?" And da 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 da. So over there, GT the Bronx. They got the Bronx sold up. And I met old boy out here in Houston. In Florida. Shout out to Show out there.
Yeah.
So I want to start moving towards that side because by the end of the year, I want to put out a project that basically ties in the whole country. I want to have features from everywhere from New Mexico to California to Oregon, all the way from Louisiana to Florida to New York. And I want to have one project like with the whole, but taking H-Town sound to all of this.
Yeah,
so I like incorporating different stuff. Like I told you, recently I found myself working with a lot of females, and it's not no sexist thing or nothing like that, but I'm a fan of music myself. So the first time that I saw I Am Lopez, when I saw her show, I was like, bro, I thought it was going to be a mosh pit. I thought there was going to be people like, that's how crunk they got.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got her on a track. I think you heard some of it earlier. Yazzie Nicole, we did a song. We shot the video. Shout out to Reckless in Texas. He shot it. That should be dropping soon. And I talked to Lil Spill earlier this week. We're supposed to be jumping on something. I'm redoing the Lil Kiki song. Shout out Joker and Capo. I don't have songs with them right now coming out. But these are artists that I met at the Perfect Rack off 290 and Magnum.
Man, how long ass time ago?
That's where I met them. We were opening up for Slim Thug. We were opening up for GT back in the day, bro. Like, and I met them there. And I shit you not, like a lot of people tell you in the rap game, there's a lot of hoes and bitches and fake dudes. But Capo and Joker, those two Mexicans right there. Capo, man, like he's a lyricist, bro. And Joker, like, he's a lyricist too, but like his shit is real. Like he's talking real life on them songs, on them tracks. You know what I'm saying? Like, rest in peace, Pat. See Pat, I love you. And I'm just so happy with all these different projects. Like I did a song with Mr. 3-2, but that's coming out too. That was big because he's a Houston. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so Houston.
Yeah, from Mr. 3-2 from the SUC. Okay, rest in peace.
I was thinking 3-2 from Dallas. My bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he was with SUC. He was okay. So I just think it's dope that some people don't know me. And I think that's dope because know my music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here for music, you know? And people are starting to catch on to it. So big shout out to everybody that checks out my music. Matter of fact, hit me up. Hit me up on Facebook, Instagram. I do this thing where if someone reaches out to me, you get 5 free songs. You don't got to buy them. I tell people if you want to donate towards the cause, studio time, traveling, cool. If not, they're free.
Yeah.
You know that somebody who works a graveyard shift sent me $50, bro. $50. And I legit told him, I said, look, I was driving to Vegas. I said, you just paid for the first gas tank. Like, thank you. And they were like, nah, man, keep your shit going. A stranger.
Yeah.
Didn't go to school with him. $50.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? So big shout out. Yeah, big shout out. Big shout out to.
Speaking of music, you got a project coming out.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about the name of the project and what can people expect?
Yeah, the next one's called Nothing Personal. I already turned it in. It's just a matter of like getting things, you know, cleared and whatever, blah, blah. Shout out to Empire. Everything goes through Ghazi and Empire. So once that's out, it's already turned in. I have the cover art to it and everything. Then I'm gonna, it's like I told you earlier, you gotta learn the game. It changes.
Yeah.
And what I noticed is that like right now it's about singles, not albums. So this will probably be the last like piece of work altogether. If anything, I'll be probably dropping smaller, like, you know, 5 or 6 songs at a time, or maybe just focus on one at a time. But in January, I dropped one with 30 songs on it because I just love to rap.
It's old school shit, bro.
Nah, I just love to rap. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, how many I want? Oh, all of it. And so Nothing Personal, I think that was like 12 or 13. It shows a lot of more like the reggaeton. Like at first when I did Spanish, it was like Spanish rap, like Spanish hip hop. And then I started playing with like my voice. I started playing with my lyrics. And then like now I'm trying to mimic like the like the Daddy Yankees, the Bad Bunnies, the but keep my original style, just kind of, you know, give it a little twist, like kink it, you know, change it up a little bit. So there's some songs on there that for sure people haven't heard me rap like that in Spanish. And also there's what I'm known for, no hooks, you know, 80 bars on one beat. Like, yeah, that's on there too.
300 degrees all over again.
Man, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do it.
And when is this project dropping?
That should be dropping in the next month or so.
Next month?
Yeah, the video with Yazzie Nicole, that should be coming out like in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And really, right now, not on no big head, you know what I'm saying? I'm not on some, I mean, this is what it is. But if I'm not getting paid to do it, like, I'm really not. And I'm not trying to sound like a hoe. I'm not trying to sound like, you know, some big-headed prick or nothing like that. But if I'm not getting paid to do it, I probably don't want to do it. Even if it's like, hey, but come out, you can network. It's like, not for nothing. That is true. You could go to these events and you can network. But everything has phases, right? And once you pass that phase and it's the same people, the same network, the same everything, but you're still spending new money every time you go to a new event, the phase already passed. You know what I'm saying? Like the people that I know that legit make a living off of music, they're not doing five shows a month.
I'm glad you're saying this and not me, because when people were on my ass about not showing up to events, that's how I felt. But I didn't want to say it because, you know, I get a lot of heat for the shit I say on the show.
Man.
And I would think like, bro.
But you know what's wrong? If you don't say it, you're hyping up the new generation that's coming in. And like you said earlier, a real friend, someone who has good intention. There's two type of people walking next to you, and there's a pile of dog shit 3 feet in front of you. One is going to stop walking and pull out his phone, and he's going to try to get you right when you're, nigga, oh, shit. The second one is going to grab you and say, hey, watch your step right there. Don't fuck up your shoes. Right?
Yeah.
That's someone with good intention. That's somebody with a friendly intention. So I'm 36. I've been rapping since I was in middle school. So for the better part of 25 years, I've been rapping. It wouldn't be, to me, it wouldn't be right of me to sit here and let a youngster coming in the game just waste his money, right, on the people that didn't make it but realize you don't have to make it to make money. You can make money off the ones that are still chasing it.
Yeah,
and then it's not wrong. Hey, if you make money selling slots, if you make money promoting shows, I'm not knocking you. Get your bag in no type of way. Am I shitting on you for it? But if you're sitting there hustling people, like, bro, this show's gonna have 300 people. If Michael Watts is gonna come, and you pay for your slot and you show up and you're just rapping for other rappers that paid, bro, that's not right. You know what I'm saying? So if I have to be an asshole for saying, hey, you know what? You should do your due diligence. You should look into what promoters you do shows for. You should look into, are they going to keep their end of the word? You should look into the venue you're going to go perform at. Like, do your homework. That way you save your money. Yeah. If I'm a hoe for helping the little nigga save his money, then fuck you. And whoever feels that way, E45 said it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, it's a conscious decision to me, because I was that little dude. I was that, hey, I don't know nothing. So if you tell me it's $100, $200, $300, like, I'm going to give you that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't know no better. If you're really trying to help, if you're really trying to make a change, then say something. Don't just sit back and watch somebody get hustled and be like, damn, you got that dude. Like, that wasn't right, but I ain't saying nothing. You know them dudes that I was going to say something. I was fucked, but they were cool with it.
Yeah,
Like, nah, that ain't me. That ain't me, bro. Like, shout out to all the promoters that bust their ass for their shows, that bust their ass to get the people to come, the crowds to show up at their venues. Huge shout out to y'all. I ain't none but love and respect, and you know that. But to the ones that are sitting here, like, literally selling wolf tickets just so you could get, you know, the little homie to pay for, you know what I'm saying, a feature, a show, or say, if you're going to lie to somebody and be like, bro, if you pay this dude $300 for this feature, you're going platinum. You're going to be on World Star. Like, you finna get a record deal.
Yeah.
That's not right. And like me, when people pay me for a feature, I tell them, look, if you want me to rap on the song, all for it. If you want me to guarantee you you're going to get 1 million streams, I don't even want to take your money.
Yeah.
I don't even want to take your money, because I'll rap on the song, but make no mistake of it. Like, I run a farm, a transport. East Bullies, I haven't even brought that up the whole interview. We sell puppies. Like, we have Frenchies, Bulldogs. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I make my living.
Yeah.
But that's why I respect, like, if you go to work as a janitor, electrician, and you come up with your paycheck at the end of the week, and you're investing that in your studio, you're investing that in your beats, you're investing that in doing slots so you can get out there, I'm cheering you on. There's some good promoters out there. There's some hardworking DJs. Matter of fact, you could go around the whole thing, go to venues, show up when in the middle of the day when no one's there and ask for the manager, ask for the owner and be like, hey, look, I rap. This is how I rap. If you like it, maybe you could book me. Connect yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's another thing. Like, if I'm talking bad about the promoters and the, you know, the people that you know, make money off of other people like that in the wrong way, for the people that are getting in the rap game, it's called a game. Learn to play it. You know what I'm saying? Like put yourself out there. Like I just told you right now, I could hit send on an email and send the music to California. Or I could drive there, stand right in front of them like I'm sitting in front of you, and da 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 da. Now they know E45. Yeah. Had I just sent the email, it'd have been one. How many emails do you get? One time you told me, like, bro, I get so many emails, I just stopped looking. I legit just stopped looking.
On Instagram, if you hit me up on Instagram, bro, chances are.
So you got to stand out. You have to stand out. Like, you know how I got to Goto's? I recorded a song called HTX. And then I noticed that all the artists, you couldn't talk to them directly. If you went to their social media, that's just their social media.
Yeah.
But if you booked them, there's a phone number and an email. And for their money, you could call that number, that email, and it's somebody close to them. So I went to Dope House Records. At the time, it was their MySpace. I got their email. I sent the songs, just like I sent them to your email. I don't even know what you're going to listen to. I just sent them. I get an email back. Hey, this is Lucky Luciano. I like that song. You think I can get on it? I said, can you get on it, nigga? Little Christian on a mission in the black. He gets on the song. The song gets the gold toes. The rest is history.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? But had I sat at my house and been like, look, I got this song, but I don't know how to get it to people, I would have never met Goto. I'd have never met Lucky Luciano. You know what I'm saying? So you have to stop thinking, are my lyrics hard enough? Is my song cool enough? Start thinking, what can I do different? How can I stand out? What can I do to market myself different? And that's where the game gets played. The game gets played in the details because either you're making money or you're spending it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I tell people, if I'd have learned how to do this, if I'd have learned how to record people, I'd have made a killing in my studio. If you ask me right now, realistically, on camera, how much money have you made from music? I could tell you, less than $1,500. Less. And that's in a 25-year span. If you ask me how much money, how many of those $100 bills at the beginning of my, put 100 for 4 hours, if you ask me how much money have you put into music? And this, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's a lot of money, because I personally know people that put hundreds of thousands of dollars and into their label, into their music. I've put roughly 25 to 30,000 between traveling, beats, recording, slots, food at the venue. I'm a big numbers person, so I like to know everything. And roughly between 25 to 30,000. So right now, anybody could tell me, okay, so business wise, you put $25,000 and you've only made $1,500 back, not profit, towards your $25,000. And you don't want to go to this venue for free and keep spending money? Fuck no. Like that's why I tell people, if I'm not getting paid, no. You know what I'm saying? Respectfully, no. If you want to take it distance, shove it up your ass. It's still no. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I paid my dues. I put my money. I know what I put up. You know what I'm saying? That's why where I'm at right now, it's like, look, bro, unless I feel like doing it, like I feel like freestyling, or I feel like da-da-da, or I feel like, hey, I respect the artist. Like let's do a song because I respect you. I respect your level of, you know, into your music. Then nah, I need to get paid.
He said nah.
Nah. Like if you ask me how many puppies have I gave away?
I was about to say, because when you were talking about the puppies, I remember you gave one away at, I think it was one of the Hustletown.
It was a raffle. It was a raffle. So have I ever given anything away? I know what my mother, my son, I know what I put into my dogs. Anybody that's ever got a dog from me, from East Bullies, I say this with pride. No one has jumped out yet and been like, hey, that dude's full of shit. That dude's a thief. That, like, we literally get our dogs vaccinated, deworm, everything. Behind, like, when someone gets this dog, they can't say, like, hey, damn, this is a well-kept dog. Like, this is why it's $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $7,000. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I put a lot of myself in everything I do, right? Whether it's shooting pool, whether it's breeding dogs, whether it's selling food. I put my heart and soul into it. Like, hey, look, if you're not going to do it all the way, then don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the music thing. To me, I've never had a record deal. I've never had a real on paper manager. I've never been in a rap group. You know what I'm saying? So the word professional comes from profit. If you make a profit from it, that means you're a professional at it. You don't have to be the best professional in the world, but it means that you're making a profit from it.
Yeah.
Until I become a professional rapper, a professional entertainer, then this is just therapy. This is just a break in between my real life of, you know, breeding dogs and transporting things across the country. So if anybody out there wants to work, you know what I'm saying? Like, I pour everything I got into every bar that I write, every performance that I put on. If you haven't seen me perform, if you, whatever, like I said, hit me up on my social media. I've literally tell people, if you want to hear me rap, I'll email it to you. I'll get on a video with you, and I will kick bars. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just my shit.
I've seen you popped up on a couple of the live podcasts, and you just jump on there and start freestyling for them and shit.
Yeah.
That's dope. Nah, I think, what's his name? Levi's Smokes World. I think you popped up.
Oh yeah, Smokes World.
Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to Smoke, man. Hey, that's another Mexicano out there. Like, I love the fact that these are people, not only are they Hispanic, they're from Texas. We're prideful people down here. And building your own platform, bro. Like organically, you know what I'm saying? Like that's why I feel like God chooses who he blesses. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like you're not for nothing, you're a blessed man. And the reason why I say that is because you kind of have the best of both worlds. You know what I'm saying? You're like, bro, I get so many messages, I stop checking them.
Yeah.
Right now, there's somebody sitting there like, how do I get one person to message me about what I'm trying to do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're blessed that you have the attention of people, but you're even more blessed that you know what matters more in life. You know that once you clock out from that microphone and that camera, your sister, your mom, you know what I'm saying, like the plan that you have for your home and their future.
Yeah.
And I respect that more about you than anything else, bro. And like, in honesty, that's why I feel like you have the attention you have. You have the platform that you have. And some people, they're just too hard or too gangster to tell somebody, hey, bro, you're doing your thing. That shit's hard as fuck. But some of the most honest compliments I ever got were from gangster street motherfuckers that were like, hey, bro, you're not out here, you know what I'm saying, wilding out, and you're not going to TDC and shit. We're not writing your obituary, so, like, you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing your thing, you know what I'm saying? So, man, big shout-out to your whole platform. Shout-out to everybody that listens. If you're a real listener, if you're a real supporter, you should get somebody else to listen and get them to support it, because that's how this thing grows and that's how it gets bigger. Shout-out to everybody that you help, all the underground artists. I talk so much shit about people getting hustled because I was that person getting hustled. I was that person paying for fake shows and paying for, you know, for real. Like I grew. That's how I grew my emotions towards it, because I was like, damn. So like, not talking shit, but you didn't make it, but you figured out how to hustle everybody behind you, like in the same journey, you learned how to hustle them right here. Yeah. They're never gonna make it, but you're gonna hustle them right here. Like, that's not about chasing a dream no more. That's about, like, predatorial instincts. That's about, like, I got to get them. It's a lick. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so against that because it takes away from the passion. It takes away from the realism of, like, this is music. It's just so we could feel good. It's so we could, like, vibe out. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I tell people. I make mood music. Some of my songs, they'll make you nod your head and get crunk. If you really listen to some of the lyrics, they'll make you cry. You know what I'm saying? Be like, damn, you heard what he just said? I'm thankful. Like, I'm super, super thankful that you gave me this chance to jump up here, you know what I'm saying, introduce myself to your listeners and whatnot. And you may not believe this or not, but more than promoting anything, coming up here about my dogs, the food or whatever, I just wanted to come give you your flowers, bro. I just wanted to come tell you, like I've been watching your shit for a long time.
Appreciate it.
From my little slice of heaven, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not the biggest rapper. I don't have the biggest platform. But as a Hispanic, as somebody who, you know, has the similarities with you, I respect everything that you've done, bro.
Like, I appreciate that, bro.
Keep doing your
thing. I appreciate it. Because, man, I ain't going to lie. Sometimes I was having this conversation with one of my homeboys, and he was telling me, he's like, hey, bro, like, you know, I think people really respect you. I was like, nah, bro, people hate my ass. He's like, nah, I think people really fuck with you. I was like, nah, bro, to be honest, people only watch the show because Never Die. I said, people could give a fuck about me. I said, I'm probably like the most hated figure on the fucking local scene.
You know what, though? But if any attention is good attention, you know what I'm saying? And I go back to, like, there's another expression, half empty or half full. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you going to be tripping that they hate you, or are you going to be grateful that you got the world watching? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So right now, should be grateful you got the world watching, bro. Like, GT, that was a big move. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a national thing. So I hope to see you, you know what I'm saying, in different states. I hope to see you. Yeah. Like, right now, shout out to Shimo Media. He's the guy doing a lot of stuff out there in California. I'm talking about millions of views on what he's doing. And I'm looking to you know, like, expand what I'm doing and take some of his H-Town shit other places. Like I said, you could send an email, you could send a message, but being in person, like, if you're able to, go do it in person. You know what I'm saying? Because that, before you even start rapping, people see the commitment. Like, bro, you really came all the way over here just to do it in person.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how serious I take it.
That's
yes. So man, congratulations on your growth,
appreciate
bro. I hope to see bigger and better things. Me myself, I hate to say it, and this is probably like my public way of saying it, because I really haven't told nobody. But I'm ready to take another break from music. Like it hits that wall. Like I told you before, I took 5 years, 10 years, 2 years. And Goto's, that's been my homeboy the whole time. Like, he literally took me out on a birthday dinner, and it was in the middle of, like, the most depressing moment of my life. He's flown me out to other states, like, when my head was all, like, scrambled. And he's been a friend, like, a legit friend. So shout out to Goto's. I love you. And, man, everything that's coming up, bro, like, I got to look at it business, you know what I'm saying? Because right now I'm really focused on opening my son's barbershop. I'm really focused on getting the catering service back up and running.
I was going to ask you about the catering service. What's the name of it? What area do you guys service, and what kind of foods are you guys providing?
It's Mama's Kitchen. Basically, just hit me up on Facebook or Instagram. Right now it's in the Galveston area, because that's mainly where we're located. But if you meet me, ironically, on Highway 45, like, there's a lot of people that will drive to 45 just to meet me to get their plates and go back to whatever they're doing. But we got fajita, sausage, rice, potato salad, beans, hot sauce, bread, and a drink. $15. It's the best $15 you could ever spend.
That's a lot for $15. Matter of fact,
look, and you know what? In honesty, I wanted to charge more. I did. But my mom was like, you know what? Right now, a lot of people going through a lot of hard times. And my mom, she's like in charge of like what goes on the plate. And she's like, no plate could leave my kitchen unless it's heavy. When people open the plate, they have to be like, I just stole, like, I just got away with it. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people that open the plate and they're like, that's it? Like that's it? That's all that comes on it? So my mom, she's big on like the plate has to be heavy.
Yeah.
So, of course, if you make larger orders, we cater, you know what I'm saying? We cater to what whoever needs. We've had people order 25 plates at a time, you know what I'm saying? So we'll take care of you. And yeah, you know, wish us luck. Child by Gordo, that's coming soon. And just a lot of stuff that's in
and
the
then
mix.
Your bullies.
Bullies, ease bullies, man. Right now, again, I decided to take a little break, like, you know, just focus on home. But this coming year, we're going to have the Rumble in the Jungle. That show was in Dallas. They had 28,000 people go. And now they're hosting it in Houston. So that's supposed to be, if you're not doing nothing that weekend, bro, come with me to that show. Rumble in the Jungle, huge shout out to June Williams. He's the host. And they're already trying to book him to throw one in China. Like, that's how big, that's how major and big, like, it's Boosie Badass comes to it, all type of stuff. So hopefully East Bullies that will be in the house in September for the Rumble in the Jungle. One big shout out that I want to shout out is the Hemp Sisters down in Galveston.
Who
are they? people don't know this. That some people do, some people don't. My girlfriend Karina, you know, she's half of Hemp Sisters. We went to school like a lifetime ago, and then just reconnected later on in life. I'm real big on privacy. So like my private life, I don't try to mix it into it. But she's in the industry too, so it's kind of hard like not to drag it in. But she owns a spa. And my daughter, she was born with infantile scoliosis. So she's had 11 spinal surgeries. Like, that's the love of my life, my daughter. And it's crazy. You would never think that massages like go so far. Like, I never knew people hire a physical therapist when someone's like going like their last hours.
Yeah.
So instead of putting them on morphine that burns them from the inside out, they literally have like a physical massage therapist just massage, and they could feel the human sensation of touch their last few hours. You know, like a woman that's about to give birth, she could have a certain. So I didn't know all this. And like, I'm looking into like really going to school and getting my massage therapist license and hopefully be doing massages too.
And getting his hands on everything.
So if y'all need to get a massage, y'all book that down in Galveston, Heavenly Touch, Hemp Sisters. They'll get you right. They even got CBD for dogs. So if your dog's like, you know, tripping out or whatever, just get them all those treats. You know what I'm saying? Get them barred out for a little bit.
I'm going to have to hit y'all up because my dog.
Hey, you know what? It's always the little breeds, the chihuahuas. Those are the ones that wild out the most.
I have a fucking husky mixed with a German shepherd.
Oh, wow. That's an active dog.
And when, bro, I can't.
Those two breeds right there, like, you can't just put them in a room and leave them.
I had a homeboy stop by the other day, and I was like, hey, bro, can you come? I want to build a deck and all this shit. So he went back there, and the dog was everywhere. I said, bro, to be honest with you, this is my house, but the backyard is his. So you can't do shit back here without him being all up in your business.
Without him, like,
he's not all over the place. And he's not a bad dog, but he's active as hell, mm-hmm. and he loves attention.
He loves attention.
Boy, and you try...
That's just like us dudes. They just act. They just want attention.
you open the door because he was like, you going to let him in? I said, bro, he ain't going to come in. He opened the door, peeked in. Nope, went back outside. I'm like, see?
Yeah.
I said, that dog just wants to be fucking shut up in the backyard. He don't care. And I might have to put him in some treats. Calm the hell down.
Yeah, no, they work. They really do work. I wanted to read this piece. It's half of a poem. The book's gonna be called A Controlled Chaos by E. Benitez, and it's basically 20 poems. And on one side of the page is the poem, and then on the other side of the page is the story behind it. So this was a close friend of mine. Out of respect to his family, I'm not gonna put his name out there. He passed away from COVID, and so I got together with his family after, and they asked me, you know, if I could write something for him. And so this is half of it. It's called Until I See You. And again, I hope the listeners, I hope you guys, you know, like it or whatever. It says, my heart weighs heavy in my chest, searching for words that'll comfort. I smile through tears, revisiting memories like pictures in an album that I can imagine but never relive. You can't be substituted, replaced, and I can't find another you. I can converse for you. I can imagine your answers, but I'll hurt knowing that they never came from you. The sound and echo of your voice, they live in my head. Your friendship, love, and loyalty, they're intertwined with my soul. This means you'll live as long as I do. If I have life, death only paused our forever. Until I join you, find peace in knowing I remember who you are. So remember who I am. Please detail every moment and rest in that feeling until I see you.
That's deep.
Yeah, so that'll be on A Controlled Chaos by E. Benitez. Again, look, I got goosebumps reading it, bro. Like, and this shows a whole, this isn't rapping, this isn't freestyling, this is composed literature in a poetic version.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to start doing poetry slams. I'm going to be getting out there doing that too, you know what I'm saying? So I just like staying busy. I have that type of mind where, like, if I have time to think, I'll come up with a bad idea. So I just need to stay active in whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for letting me come on here and, you know what I'm saying?
We appreciate you, bro. However, make sure you guys tell them your social media.
Social media, E45_Benitez. On Facebook, Elias Benitez, the E-L-I-S, Benitez, the way it sounds. And I'll be posting more content on my OnlyFans. So E45 on OnlyFans, y'all go check that out. And it's not what people think. People hear that and they think, oh, you're going to be on there like smash. Like, no, actually, I'm giving like cooking tips. Like, I'm baking cookies. Like, I'm so sick. Yeah. Nigga, if you taste my white macadamia cookies out of the oven.
You should have brought some.
I brought you. but seriously, like, to anybody that's listening, if you have a dream, it's like Gold Toast told me, and I swear it's been true since. As long as you're having fun, keep doing it. The moment you stop having fun, find something else to do in life.
Yeah.
Find something else that brings you happiness, that brings you peace. But as long as you're having fun and you're not harming nobody, Bro, go for your dream. If you want to sell tamales, if you want to sell hats, shout out to La Conecta. I'm sure that's somebody that when they started, they didn't think they were going to be, you know, syndicated on, you know, saying something this big and that major. So huge shout out to all Houston, Texas. I love y'all. The whole Hispanic race. I don't care what country you're from. I represent you too. And yeah, man, the music coming out. One last thing. Talk and this is I was waiting to end this with a boom. Okay, so is that the camera recording me right there?
The camera, yeah.
Okay. If you're an artist and you have music out, and look, I don't know a long way of saying it. You know how they have the Versus show?
Yeah.
$1,000. If you're an artist, you have music, and you believe that your music goes harder than mine, put up $1,000 in all of Jay Vasquez's platform. His audience will choose off of 10 songs. You do 10 songs, I do 10 songs. Whoever wins, Jay Vasquez gets his piece because, hey, you put the whole thing on your, on, you know what I'm saying? We'll chop that up, make sure you get taken care of, and the rest of the purse is for the winner. Win, lose, or draw, I'll shake your hand out of respect. There ain't no beef. There ain't no plagues. There ain't no, hey, we're going to see each other outside of the venue. And we're, hey, you know what I'm saying? It's a friendly wager. Yeah. If you have your music and like me, you're convinced. Like, nah, this, like, I'm the shit and I'm down to prove it. Put $1,000 up. And I'll put $1,000 up and we could do 10 songs against each other. Live a performance to where your audience has a certain time, some period of time to look at it. Let them pick who went harder. E45 against the world. Whoever has $1,000, let's run it. And if you're like, hey, you know what? $1,000, that ain't shit. That ain't enough. Man, pull up to any neighborhood in Houston, Texas, north side, south side. Matter of fact, pull up to any neighborhood in Texas. Go down to McAllen. Go down to Beeville. Go down to any city in Texas. And ask right there, hey, bro, $2,000, is that a lot of money? And if the locals say yeah, then that's enough. Hey, if somebody's talking shit like, hey, that's not enough. If you scared, just say you scared. You know what I'm saying? But I got $1,000 on mine. We could run. And if somebody's like, look, I ain't got $1,000, but I got $500. Hey, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. But I want to do, and God knows that when I thought about this, I thought it out. You know, I saved it for the end of the interview. I don't want to come off as some big-headed prick and like, oh, my God, this dude thinks he's harder than everybody else. But if I do, I don't give a fuck. Bring your $1,000. This isn't about my personality. This isn't about my characteristics. This is about my music. And I believe that if I run 10 songs, I run one, you run one. I run one, you run one. I might freestyle a song or two. You know what I'm saying? But you bring your music, and I'll bring my music. This isn't going to be 20 rappers showcasing their mixtapes and albums. I don't even care if it's a mainstream artist. Yeah. If you're up there, if you're Spotify, blah, 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 you can get it too. It's across the board. And you don't even have to be from Texas. Like, whoever you are, if matter of fact, if you're watching this and you know who to call because that dude's always talking shit and you need somebody to embarrass him on camera, bring his ass down to me. I'm paying finder's fee and all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you find somebody, put their $1,000 up. Yeah, I got something for you too. Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
E45 versus the world. That's what I call it. Yeah. E45 versus the world. And if, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, this isn't no beef. This ain't no hate. Like if somebody pops up from San Antonio, this isn't Houston against San Antonio. This is one lyricist against whoever thinks like, hey, bro, like I'll match up 10 songs and let's run it. You know, it's just like I'm competitive, bro. You know what I'm saying? Anytime I've been in a room full of rappers, I'm a rap.
Yeah.
I'm a rap. I don't give a fuck if they recorded it. I don't care if it's just a cipher. Like, we need to figure out on the tone pole who sits where.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If there's somebody that sits higher than me, I'll pay them $1,000, shake their hand, and tell them right live on my shit, hey, bro, you went harder. Shit, congratulations. But I believe in me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And where I'm from, money talks, bullshit walks. So instead of waiting for somebody to book me for a show, I'll put up my band, you put up your band, let's run it.
Yeah. Let's make it happen. And in the meantime, you said next month we're going to get Nothing personal. Last project. Focus on singles. Yeah. So make sure you guys check that out. And then always make sure you check them out on all the streaming services, E45, you know, Spotify, YouTube, all that good stuff. And hey, once again, bro, Appreciate you coming. Hey. It's way overdue. Like I said, you know, we've talked about it before, but it was just not, you know, it wasn't the right time or whatever. But, you know, we settled in now. And we made it happen. We went all over the place. It was not.
If y'all don't believe any of this interview, this man has been up here since 1 o'clock, and it's probably 8, 9 o'clock at night.
It is 8, yeah.
And I'm probably like his 5th or 6th interview.
GT just hit me. You still shooting?
This is what I love, when the owner of the company will work like the helper he hired. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, bro, like, not for nothing, your platform's already popping. Your podcasts are already out there. You don't have to grind like this.
Yeah.
But your dude just drove a road trip to get over here to sit through all this, to take another road trip to get home. And honestly, that's why I've been dying to get up here. That's why I've been dying to, like, chop words with you. Because I respect you, bro. Like, appreciate more than anything else, I respect what you do. I respect how you do it. And shit, like I said, I'm a fan, dog. Keep doing your thing. Hopefully, I'll be back up here in the future. We'll find something else to turn the camera
yeah,
on
we'll
about.
Make it happen.
But huge shout out to everybody that listens and supports what you do. If at any point in this conversation I came off like, you know, the wrong way, I really don't mean for it to come out that way. But like I said, I can't be sorry forever. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. And huge shout out, you know what I'm saying? Y'all support, y'all share this, y'all share his other interviews, just get this man popping.
Already appreciate you, bro. Once again, make sure you follow us on all the social media pages at the J Vass Show. And thank you guys for watching. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, drop a comment. Once again, E45.
45.
Appreciate you, bro.